You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Welcome to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. I am Lisa Tarvis. Daria is on the other side.
Hey, Lisa. Good evening, everyone.
I am happy to be bringing you a show. We kind of had to ad lib, I guess you might call it, tonight because we had a guest scheduled that I was not able to get contact with in the last few days. So we are kind of having to... Well, kind of wing it. Just go with wing it tonight. But we are going to do the best we can, you know, because that's how we roll. And sometimes these shows end up being some of our best shows anyway, when it's just Daria and I talking and talking about what's going on in our lives and, you know, craziness like that. So we're happy to be having a show, and we are one of the six shows presently on the Right Stream Radio Network lineup. Sundays, we have Just Believe. That's my show. It goes on at 7 p.m. every Sunday. It's a spiritual show. We do lots of psychic readings, things like that. Monday, we have Military Monday with John D. Gresham, and he's on at 1 p.m. Eastern. These are all Eastern time, by the way. Tuesday, we have Right Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann, and she's on at 1 p.m. Wednesdays, we have SEO Strategies with Snapperhead, and we don't have a time for his show yet. Thursday is, of course, this show, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. And then Friday, S. Evan Townsend wraps it up with the Speculative Fiction Cantina at 6 p.m. Eastern. So that's our lineup right now. We are going to be getting a Saturday show on here, hopefully soon, and get SEO Strategies finally on the air and launched. Soon, we're hoping. So, we'll have the 6 days full once we get Snapperhead to get some things straightened out that he has to take care of, and then we'll just have one show spot left. So, and Daria and I can talk about that later. But everyone, again, welcome to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, and thank you all for listening. If you're listening in the archives. Great. Thank you for listening in the archives. If you're listening live, even better. Thanks for listening live. If you're listening in the archives,
yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I forgot about the chat room. I didn't even open my chat room yet. My computer's so slow tonight that I'm not really sure by the end of the show it'll even open, but I can try. I don't know what's going on. My computer is like totally, totally being a slowpoke. Not sure what the issue is. Yeah, it's just you and me in the chat room right now. It looks like. Yeah, all you've got to do to get to the chat room, by the way, is go to blogtalkradio.com/rightstream, and you're going to see our page. And if you scroll down, it's going to show you the show that's playing right now, which is us. And you can get into the chat room. Right, I think it's at the bottom of the page. Am I right, Daria? Is it at the bottom of the page?
I believe it is. It is different when you're logged in.
Yeah.
We are show, so I'm pretty sure if you're a listener, it'll be at the bottom of the page.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how it works, but I'm pretty sure I saw it. I'm going to go in and try and look, just because, you know, what else do we have to do? We'll just check it out. So blogtalkradio.com/rightstream. This would be interesting for people to know. I mean, this kind of boring air, I know, but, you know, this is good. Yeah, so you can follow our show from that page, so then you can have all the, know when a show you're going to want to listen to comes on. You can get an email about it. And it has upcoming broadcasts, on-demand broadcasts, And, well, no, it's not at the bottom of that screen. Wow, I've been saying that for a long time. Upcoming broadcast, it shows as a Speculative Fiction Cantina, which is our next show after today, but it's not showing the show that's going on right now. So I don't know. I don't know how you do that then. You'd think it would show the live show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird. I don't know. Hold on one second. I'm echoing. Hang on one sec, okay?
All right. Yeah, I'm just looking at this, and I'm like, okay, what? Why? Now I'm echoing.
That's my fault. Hold on. I am logged. Okay, you're not echoing anymore.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. You know what I just had to do? I noticed I was echoing, so I am calling back in on my iPhone, and I was trying to be clever, you know, and do that with it seamlessly, but it didn't work out that way. But anyway,
yeah,
I think I found this better now.
Yeah, it really does. I'm just curious to find out how in the world people can actually watch us or listen to our shows live if you can't do it from our page.
Blog Talk,
I got to tell you, if anybody from Blog Talk is listening, you guys are just screwing things up. I'm telling you. You're just making it so much worse for everybody with all your so-called improvements. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I really dislike, big dislike, thumbs down for this latest redesign that they did. I absolutely hate it. The ads are totally annoying. I understand. I'm as a self-employed person, capitalist, I understand the need for ads and ad revenue. However, these ads are just completely annoying. They take up like the top border of the page, the bottom border of the page. They're just annoying.
And to listen to a show, they've got to listen to a 30 to 60 second ad at the beginning of the show as well, and video. You know, I mean, there's enough advertising. You guys are making plenty of money at Blog Talk Radio. I'm not concerned. Not to mention that that they're, you know, off of advertisers, and it's not like we're broadcasting for free. I mean, we actually do pay for this service. So I don't know. I'm a little irritated. I'm really irritated that when I go to my front page, the front page of the site, I do not see a way for people. I mean, I'm looking all over. I don't see a way for people to watch the show live. And maybe I'm just being really thick, which is certainly possible.
If anyone listening has any thoughts about this or answers, can you just call us at 347-945-7246? Because we'd love to hear from you. And anyway, especially if you're a Blog Talk Radio host, I would love it if someone would call in and give us some feedback on the updates.
Yeah, somebody who knows, who understands our pain a little bit. I mean, I swear, it used to be you went to the Blog Talk Radio, you went to the show, and it was all right there on the page where people could chat. And I've been saying that every time, even on my other show, Just Believe, I'm saying that, and it's actually not true. So, yeah, big thumbs down, double thumbs down for Blog Talk here, guys. I'm real unhappy, and I keep emailing you and telling you how unhappy I am, and you're ignoring me is actually making me more irritated. So, you know, there you go. But that's okay. I'm looking into alternative things, Daria. I found another alternative possibility today. So we'll talk about it later. But yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm ready to kind of have a little more control than we have right now.
I like the sound of that. I'm also annoyed because, you know, they say, and we'll get off the Blog Talk thing after this, but supposedly if you call in from Skype, the connection's supposed to be great. You know, if you look at their guidelines for how to produce a great show, and every time I call in from Skype, I'm echoing, the sound quality is bad. You know, the best sound quality I get is when I call in from my phone. It's crazy.
You know what I should do? I'm going to try, and this is just me trying something different. I'm going to try logging in, not being logged in, and go to blogtalkradio-rightstream and see if maybe it's because I'm logged in as a rightstream. Okay, see if, oh my God, the ads are ridiculous. No, there's still nothing there. You guys suck. I'm just saying. Yeah, you still can't listen live, but you've got these beautiful Juicy Fruit gum ads all over the place. Yeah, you still can't. There's no listen live. I'm just really, really unhappy. That's just another thing to add to my to-do list tomorrow, to call and complain. Not that I don't do that plenty, but they don't seem to care, but whatever. I care. I mean, it matters to me that I'm upset. Anyway,
yeah.
So Gary and I decided to use this hour because of the fact that we did not get a guest, or we did have a guest, but because she, let's just say disappeared. I don't know what happened to her. She confirmed and then just went bye-bye. She just, I don't know. You know, stuff happens. Stuff happens. I mean, God, if I'm learning anything in life, it's that stuff happens all the time, you know, and you can't always do anything about the stuff that happens. I mean, if, you know, she could have had a family emergency, she could have had, you know, she could be sick, who knows, but I was not able to get a hold of her. So, because of that, we, are kind of doing our own thing. And what we decided to do tonight was kind of talk about Darius' project she's got going on and my projects that I've got going on, and just kind of update everybody on our personal stuff, our personal business stuff, and on the Right Stream Network in general, which I promise is not going to be boring, because we actually have a huge range of subjects that we're trying to cover on through the Right Stream Network. We have 2 hours a day for broadcasting time, and what we're trying to do is the shows are usually about an hour. Some people go longer. My show went full 2 hours on Sunday. Sometimes it's, you know, an hour. It just depends. But we're trying to have a 7-day-a-week lineup and a variety of different types of shows, so that there's something for everyone on the network. And that's what we're working to do. And we're doing all right with it. I mean, we've got quite a great difference in subject topics and things like that now. And we're going to add, like I said, a Wednesday show. And we're looking at adding either a paranormal, like ghost hunting kind of thing. That's really up my alley. I would love something like that. But it doesn't have to be that. It can be, we also talked about like a health and wellness kind of thing, about eating right, exercising, or maybe a life coach, somebody who can help people with their everyday problems. Not a psychic, you know, we have the psychic thing covered on my show, but more something that's just, you know, tools that you can use to get through. I always think, I'm just going to take the Wednesday slot too. I'll just throw something in there. And I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing to yourself, Lisa? Can you imagine having to manage 3 shows a week? Two is exhausting.
Yeah, really. But you know what I want to do, Lisa? I kind of, for anybody, especially for our listeners who may be new, listening for the first time tonight, let's do a little stroll down memory lane. And in case anyone doesn't know who you are, and I can't imagine that, but I just kind of wanted to fill everybody in a little bit about the history of Right Stream Radio Network. And Lisa, and you and I, Lisa, you and I met, gosh, it's about 2 years now, or it will be next month.
Yep.
And as everyone may or may not know, and I'm going to put it out there again, Lisa is an excellent metaphysician, psychic, spiritual, intuitive. She does a lot of healing work with clients. And 2 years ago, I guess I was visiting family for Christmas up in Pennsylvania. I grew up near where Lisa lives, actually. And I just did a Google search. And I think, Lisa, you were like one of the first names that popped up. And I thought, and I, you know, did some investigating, and I went on your website, and for some reason, I would just thought, you know, this girl just seems really nice. I'm going to call her. And we had a reading, and I think we did it over the phone, and I was so impressed, not just your ability, but just how nice you were, and very down-to-earth and genuine. And as I recall, because I'm the kind of person, I'm very aware of like, running over time, because I know that this is your business, and this isn't something you're doing for a hobby. And you were just like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, I always give people extra time. I talk until I feel like I've given you all the information I need to give you. And I just thought that was really cool. And then then offline you said to me, oh, by the way, I'm going to be on another Blog Talk Radio show if you want to tune in and listen. And so I listened to you as a guest on that show. And soon after that, when I conceived of Right Stream, I thought, I really want to have a spiritual show. I've got to call Lisa and see if she'd be willing to host the show. And you jumped right on board, and I guess the rest is history, but Just Believe debuted along with Military Monday in March of 2013, and it's been a great ride. It really has been. But Lisa, what I thought we would do tonight, is just, I want to ask you, pretend you're my guest tonight, and just ask you a few questions in case anybody's wondering, you know, about psychic ability. Maybe they're interested in learning more, but they're kind of afraid or they're skeptical. I thought it would be kind of cool to just talk a little bit about that. By the way, Lisa is also the author of the wonderful book, Just Believe, which is part autobiography and part spiritual primer. It has excellent reviews on Amazon.com, so check that out, Just Believe by Lisa Tarvez on Amazon.com. And Lisa, let's start with my first question. First of all, like, what is psychic ability and what is it not?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's funny because I get asked that a lot. Like, and people, I think everybody's psychic. I think everybody has psychic abilities. I think everybody has some sort of ability that is at least through their intuition. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have, you may not be able to, you know, see the other side or see your deceased loved ones or whatever. You may not be able to hear things. You know, hear unusual things. You may not, you know, have the paranormal stuff going on, but you have intuition, and intuition is semi-psychic. It really is. Everyone has it, but some people just close down from it. I think the best way to explain it is to just say that it's a just knowing for me, and everybody's gifts are different. For me, it's a just knowing. I just know. Certain, like when somebody asks me a question, I just know the answer. I don't understand it necessarily where it comes from. I don't really understand who's telling me all the time. You know, sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm lucky enough many times somebody will want to, somebody who's deceased that loves whoever the client is or whatever that's comes in and they give me information. Other times, a lot of the time, it's angels. And my gift started when I was a child. The earliest memories I have were of my being able to see angels. And I just thought it was normal. Everybody could see angels. I mean, what's the big deal? They're angels, you know. They're everybody's angels and not just my angels, you know. So I just assumed it was normal. It took me till I was probably about 6 or 7 before I understood that it really wasn't what everybody saw. And then, you know, I shut it off like everybody does. You know, I think at some point when you see something unusual, you outgrow it, you know, and you stop and you kind of shut it off. You know, I did that, but I always, like, all through school, I felt like Dr. Phil, like a female Dr. Phil. Everybody came to me for advice. Like, they were like, yeah, Dr. Phillette. They were like, you know, always asking me for the answers to stuff. And I always could, and they're like, you were right. It happened exactly like you said it would. And I'm like, yeah, of course. I'm always right. And I started thinking, wow, maybe I'm just super smart and everybody else, they're just not, you know. I'm like, maybe that's what's going on. Because to me it was so obvious, you know, it was always so obvious. Until I started realizing that I couldn't predict crap for myself. Like, I couldn't tell what was going to happen in my own life, just everybody else's life. So, you know, so then I started looking into it, obviously, and figured out that it was about a lot more than a coincidence, you know. And I started studying metaphysics, and my dad has always been a big spiritual buff and a big metaphysical believer, and he really guided me along to, you know, not become, because I think if you're, sometimes when you have these gifts, you can become a little crazy if you're not grounded, because it kind of does make you feel a little crazy sometimes, you know. And I luckily, you know, my dad kept me very, very grounded, as did my mom. But my mom wasn't the spiritual metaphysical person. That was always my dad's thing, and that's always been the connection I have with my dad. So, you know, that's a really long-winded way of answering your question, but I think a psychic is someone who just knows more than the average person. Some of them can see things. Some of them can feel things, sense things. Some of them, I mean, there are people that see dead people, absolutely. You know, it's not a fortune teller. You know, if we're going to get into what a psychic is not, which I know was part of it, it's part of the question, but it's not a fortune teller. You have 100% control over the outcome of most situations, at least your involvement in most situations. I mean, obviously, some things are just going to happen, but for the most part, you have free will always. So for the most part, you're going to be able to control the outcome of any given situation. So when somebody says, all right, am I going to get this job that I'm going to go for an interview for on Wednesday or something, I'm like, I'm not going to tell you, yeah, you're going to get the job. And then you go in there, you know, with your hair all with bedhead and, you know, and jeans and, you know, and not with your game face on, you know, and then think that you're going to, you can blow it. I can tell you, yeah, it looks like you've got a great shot at this job, but at the same time, a lot of it's in your hands. I mean, just because the psychic tells you, yes, this is going to happen, doesn't mean, okay, your responsibility ends. And you throw up your hand and say, okay, I don't have to do anything else. Yeah, you do. You still have to try. You know, you still have to put the effort in.
Sure,
so I think I think the whole fortune-telling thing is the thing that drives me the craziest, because people want to know, okay, well, what's going to happen? Well, that depends on you. You know, I can tell you the most likely outcome if you follow certain steps. Or I can tell you the outcome if you continue doing the same thing you're doing now. And then I can tell you what could happen if you tweaked some of the things that you're doing now. And so I guess that answers that.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And it all gets back to the age-old concept of free will, which God has given all of us. And that's absolutely true. I mean, it drives me crazy, too, when people are just like, oh, well, you know, she or he, you know, they said this was going to happen and it didn't. Well, yeah, because you know, what's the common denominator? You, meaning the person getting the reading. And it's so funny, Lisa, because my friend Morgana Starr, who's a local psychic down here on the Space Coast, I mean, she cracked me up one day when she said, you know, just remember, there's a fine line between psychic and psycho. She was actually warning me about another quote-unquote psychic in the area who's not reputable. And one thing I found with a lot of good psychics, too, if they're worth their salt, and there's a lot of different ways you can tell that, but they will also be very open, as you are and as Morgana is, to referring people to other psychics, because the belief is, just like you were saying, they all get information in different ways, and it might strike a chord with a client if maybe they're talking to a psychic who gets things telepathically or sees things. You know, it all depends on the chemistry between the client and the psychic. What do you think about that?
You're right. I think that's totally true. I think that there's an energy, and there are people that come to you for a reading and then they completely block themselves off, you know, or there are people that that come to me for healing. They're like, oh, you're psychic too. Well, I don't want you getting it. I don't want you to know what I'm thinking. I'm like, I can't tell you. I don't know what you're thinking. I'm not a mind reader. I don't read minds. You know, some people get really very neurotic about stuff like that. But I think that, you know, there has to be a really good personality, you know, exchange. There has to be, I have to feel comfortable in order for me to be able to open up and get information. And I want the person I'm working with to be really comfortable. And I work really hard to make sure that happens. And I don't have too many situations where it doesn't. I mean, with my clients, almost never do I have a situation where someone has meet in a, I mean, I always can adapt my personality to get along with almost anybody, you know, so I don't usually have a problem, but, you know, I know of other psychics whose personalities are, I don't know if it's more uppity or if they're just, I don't know. They act like you're stupid for asking the question and they just give you attitude. And I know you're thinking, I'm thinking of just one, but there are actually a lot that are like that. And people can just rub you the wrong way, you know? So I think it's really important to, you know, to just have a really nice connection with them and to know, like for me, somebody calls me and says, I lost my wallet. Where the hell's my wallet? I'm like, don't ask me. Where'd you leave? where'd you put it down?
Pray to St. Anthony.
Yeah. Well, see, I would tell my kids, it's the last place you took it. It's the last place you were. Go look in the last place you remember having it. You'll probably find it there. You know, and I mean, I don't know that. I can't do that. That's called remote viewing, and it's something that I have no talent with at all. I can't do it, but they're, oh, wow, some people are so good at that, you know. So, and I get information from deceased people. I'll get information. They'll show me in pictures how an accident happened or how something went down. But I don't necessarily, I thank God, I don't see the way it happened, like, gruesomely, like you hear some people see. I don't have anything negative happen with me at all. So I'm real lucky there.
That's awesome. And, you know, and that just brings me back to the fact that, you know, the thing that attracted me to you from the very beginning was that you are a very real person. I mean, you were talking about how your dad kept you grounded. I mean, you're married with three kids, you manage a household, you know, you wear makeup, you're a girly girl. How do you balance your practical side and your metaphysical side?
It's actually really, really easy in a weird way, but because, and I guess I say that because it's part of my life. It's just who I am. So it's really easy for me to do it. You know, I freak out about stupid stuff my kids do. I scream and yell. I'm yelling, scream, you know, clean your damn room. And, you know, I mean, my kids are 16, 20, and 21. Trust me, it doesn't seem to stop. They all still live at home. They're all in school. They all still live at home. But I'll tell you what, you know, I do the same thing every other mom out there does. But what I try to do at the end of the day and throughout the day that I hope is part of, I believe is part of from my metaphysical background and also part of my spiritual background, I really spend a lot of time counting my blessings. I spend a huge amount of time counting my blessings because the second you start thinking everything sucks, things start sucking bad. And I really believe that. I think that, so, you know, we take for granted so many of the amazing things in our life, and I do it too. And as I'm getting older and changing like everybody else does, I really feel like I'm so thankful every night when all three kids are back home, in bed, done work, done school, whatever, you know, and they're back under my roof, and I'm like, everybody's safe. Thank you, God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Thank you. Thank you for letting us get through another day and for everybody being okay and for everybody being healthy. And, you know, and I really try to incorporate my belief into my being a mom and being a wife and being, you know, running a household and running a business and all of that. I really do try to overlap them. I try to stay true to me, to who I am. I try to be I'm a very real, very down to earth, very honest, sometimes to my detriment, honest person.
Yeah.
And I believe that I'm that same person, whether I'm mothering, you know, whether I'm being a mom, whether I'm being a wife, whether I'm being a psychic, or whether I'm being a healer. I stay real. I stay who I am. I don't try to put on a show for one side of one branch. You know what I mean? One branch of this whole, mm-hmm. you know, this whole balancing act that we do as women. I really try to just be me throughout it all. And then I, you know, at the end of the day, I feel pretty good. So I'm honestly, you know, there are things I still want to change about myself, of course. I think the day I stop wanting to change things is the day I probably stop growing and start dying. I don't really know, but you know, I there are always things I'm going to want to change, I believe, but I'm really happy with who I am right now and really happy with my life right now. And there are things wrong, there are things horribly wrong, but there are there's a lot of good, you know, so it's really, I think, just a matter of staying true to who you are and, you know, and not doing the phony shit. I hate that phony stuff. My God, that drives me crazy. You know?
Oh, yeah. You and me both. You and me both.
Be real.
Well, yep. No, that's what's so great about you. And like I said, that's the thing that really, I think that's why we connected so well, is because you are very genuine and real. But Lisa, for our listeners who may not know, can you explain what metaphysics is all about?
Yeah, it's metaphysical science is what my master's degree is in. And I've got to tell you, it's a really broad range of topics. And it's actually, I find, difficult to define, technically define. But I think the easiest way to say it is a branch of philosophy. It's under the philosophy umbrella. And what we're doing is, I always say, I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to prove things that are probably not even possibly provable, you know? So basically, metaphysics is examining the nature of reality, the nature of relationships between, you know, mind and matter, between it's a theoretical discipline. It's really there's so much to it, because it involves everything from theology and studying the Bible to studying other religions, you know, all religions, because all religions are classified under metaphysics, to paranormal ghost hunting, to healing with energy, using energy to heal. There are so many different things under the umbrella. I think it's really hard to define it in fact, I don't know how they even figured out a word for what, you know, and we're able to put it all under, you know, the same thing. Plato was a metaphysician, and Plato, okay, we know Plato for, lots of different things, but we know him as basically being a philosopher. And so how does that help explain what a metaphysician is, you know? So it's really, you know, it's kind of like asking questions. You know, they say that the metaphysics tries to answer two basic questions about everything about life. And the two questions are, what's ultimately there and what is it like there? Now, there could be anywhere, but to me, I think that means there being where we're not. So, you know what I mean? So this gets so ridiculously deep that it can be a little hard to explain. But you know, as we're sitting here talking, I'm looking it up. I'm actually going on Wikipedia. I love Wikipedia. I just do.
Oh,
I know
so
it's ridiculous. Everybody makes fun of it, but I think it's awesome. Anyway, so the person who studies metaphysics is called a metaphysicist or a metaphysician. A metaphysician attempts to clarify the fundamental notions by which people understand the world. Example, existence, objects, and their properties, space and time. Oh, that's a good one. Space and time. I should have brought that up. Cause and effect and possibility. The central branch of metaphysics is ontology, and we don't need to get that deep into it, but... So basically, the space and time thing. I mean, that's the one that gives me the biggest headache, because I sit there and I'm like, okay, so you're telling me it's 19 right now? It's like because they'll tell you that everything's happening right now at the same time. You know, that's what you'll hear from scientists, and that one's the one I sit there. I'm like, what? What do you mean everything's happening at the same time? Because I see time as very linear, you know, and it's not linear according to science, you know, and time, and, you know, space and time, space being, you know, okay, so how can I heal you if you live in Malaysia and I live in the United States? Well, I can do it, you know, with energy, because energy isn't restricted by space and time. So, you know, there are parts of it that are really clear to understand for me. I think the space part is clear for me. I understand the space side of things, but when it gets to the time side, it gets a little deep for me. Even I can't even go there. I mean, I'm like, oh, please don't talk to me about how right now, you know, all these, everything's happening at the same exact time. That just makes me crazy.
Yeah, me too. It's a lot to wrap your brain around. And then when people start talking about parallel universes and all that other stuff, that's when I get, oh, okay, I got to bring it back down to earth because I'm getting, like, this is making my head hurt. But at least another important thing, though, I want to ask, too, because, you know, a lot of people, for our listeners who don't know, you know, a lot of people hear the term chakra and the chakras and how important it is for them to be balanced. But I don't think a lot of people really know what chakras are. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, actually, chakras are, that's easy. That I can explain. And pretty fast, I think. There are seven major energy centers in the body, seven main energy centers. We have lots of chakras, but there are seven main ones. And it's your root. It begins with your root. Everything flowing up, the energy flowing up from your root. So it's your root, your sacral, your solar plexus, your heart, your throat, your third eye, and brow, and your crown chakra. And so the chakras basically affect every single function your body has, every single organ your body has, every single limb and movement your body has or does. It affects it. So the reason you're hearing about the chakras, it's because it is the spiritual side of us. It's the energy side of us that you can't get on an X-ray and you can't see on an MRI, but they're for sure known to be there. These are just invisible energy centers in the body that control every aspect of our health. So getting your chakras cleansed through somebody who practices Reiki like me or somebody who practices, you know, most people use Reiki, but a lot of people, there are people that use all different types of healing techniques to cleanse chakras. Getting that done, especially after something traumatic has happened to you or something, you know, you go through something really stressful, is really important, because otherwise what happens is chakras get muddied, they get stuck, they don't, the energy doesn't flow through. And if that happens at your roots or your sacral or your solar plexus, that means none of the ones above it are getting good energy either. So everything gets all clumped up and just kind of gnarly. So we just want to keep everything flowing really, really well. If you want to learn about the chakras, definitely go and do some research. There's research all over the place about it. There's information out there on the internet. Learn how you can keep your own chakras cleansed. You don't even have to be a Reiki practitioner. You can use visualization to do it. You can use, as long as you understand the concept of them and understand how to use them, you can take care of them.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And I know in Doreen Virtue's Archangel deck, I think it's Archangel Metatron who has the chakra card, and you can even ask him as you're praying and meditating.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I use angels a lot of times to cleanse my chakras when I don't want to do the visualization or I don't have, like, I get, for me, if I start raking myself, I fall asleep. You know, I can never get past, like, my sacral or my solar plexus, usually my solar plexus, because my hands get comfortable there, like on your stomach, you know, and I just fall asleep. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'll just be like, you know, I'll call on Archangel Michael or Metatron or Gabriel. Raphael is the healer. Any of the angels can just give me a real quick chakra cleansing and poof, it's like, you know, and you do, you feel better. You really do. If you get it done through Reiki, just be aware that you do have a little bit of a toxin release, you know, you kind of do a little detox thing afterwards, so you can get a little emotional. You know, you'll usually feel really light right afterwards, but the next day, if you feel a little fluish or like you're getting a cold, or if you feel tired or weepy or whatever, that's all very normal and will go away within 24 hours. I tell all my clients that, but I don't think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people forget to tell them that. And I'm like, drink water, just like if you get a massage, drink a bunch of water the next day, get the toxins out of you, you know, as fast as you can, and using water, and you'll feel better in a day.
Wow, excellent advice. Which brings me to my next question, Lisa. What kind of services do you offer your clients, and what types of issues can you help them solve?
Well, you know, one of the things that I had to start doing was, because of the fact that I was a metaphysician and I studied metaphysics, I had to start narrowing my field down a little bit. So I started doing stuff I liked doing. I'm an aromatherapist. I'm certified as an aromatherapist, a reflexologist, it goes on and on. I have a crystal healer, chakra healer. I have so many flipping certifications. It's insane. It's insane. It's insane. I got everything I decided. If I was going to do it, I was going to be certified in it. So I got all these certifications. Well, you know what? I hate doing reflexology. I don't want to touch people's feet. And I'm just being honest. I don't. And, you know, so I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore. And you know, aromatherapy. I'd end up with a headache from all the different, you know, mixtures of all the different, you know, scents and everything. I'd be the one that needed help then. So I just decided to really down. I do basic chakra cleansing using Reiki. I do Reiki certification. So if you want to be a Reiki healer, I can certify you as a level one, level two, and a master. And I can do that in a Sui and Tibetan, or one or the other. So I do certifications. I do chakra, like I said, chakra cleansings. I do hypnosis. I'll do past life regressions. I'll do past life readings. If you want to know about past lives and you don't want to go under hypnosis to do it, I can do a past life reading. And, of course, I do regular psychic readings. And I probably do, I would say my number one thing that I do is psychic readings. I do events. I'll come, you know, people hire me to, well, people, I go to people's houses and, you know, everybody pays, a fee for a 15 or 20 minute reading. And I'll do like a group reading, or not a group reading, but a group discussion first. And then we go on and do private, you know, individual readings while there's a party going on with everybody else or whatever. I do a lot of that. I, you know, just some, a lot of radio, a lot of, you know, obviously our shows, but not only our shows. I'm a guest on a lot of different shows, which I really love doing that. But, and the cool thing about everything, whether it's being healed or whether it's, you know, whether you're sick and you need healing or whether you want the psychic reading, you don't have to be in front of me. You don't have to live in my town to have this happen or drive 3 hours for this to happen. It can all be done distantly, which is the cool thing about energy. You know, I can read somebody without even hearing your voice, just from, you know, seeing your picture maybe, or seeing your name, you know, just from you sending me an email, weird stuff. Some little thing will make it click and I'll be able to read somebody. So that's probably my number one. And then my number two thing I do has got to be the chakra cleansings. I do a lot of those too.
Very cool. So let me just ask you, Lisa, because I'm just curious too. You know, you really have to be like tuned into a person, though, because I know I think on Just Believe this past week with Psychic Leo, you guys were talking about the Long Island medium, and to me, I just have always, I've never really bought into. I mean, maybe she really does, but we know those reality shows really aren't reality, quote unquote. But you know, the way she'll just walk up to somebody and all she has to do is walk by them and say, "Oh, you know what? I have a message from your grandmother or something."
Yeah.
Isn't it more like you have to really tune into that person? Because I don't want people to think like, "Oh my God, you know, just they could just walk in front of you and all of a sudden you're going to know all this stuff." I mean, how does that really work?
I think that's what some of the perception is about psychics because of shows like the Long Island Medium and because of other famous psychics that have had things like that or have had, either it's happened to them or they've done like a reading like that way. That doesn't happen for me. And it doesn't happen honestly to anybody else that I know. And I know a lot of psychics. I'm not saying, I think to me and with Leo and with other people, we can turn it off. You know what I mean? We have to turn it off. You cannot go through your entire day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year on. You will exhaust yourself. I wouldn't be able to make it through January 3rd. You know what I mean? You know, so I don't think that, I mean, you know, a Long Island medium, I think she tunes into the person. Well, she either stares at them long enough or, you know, shares their energy space. I mean, there's something, she's got to be in the room with them. Maybe she can do it at the grocery store, but maybe it's because she gets close enough or she gets, she just looks at them and is able to connect. I don't know if she's real or not. I like the show. I think the show's good. As a psychic, I sit there like, what? Come on. You know what I mean? I think she's funny. I think she's got an outstanding personality. I think she's hysterical. I think, you know, she'd be really fun to hang out with. You know what I mean? But I don't know how real that whole thing is. It is not like that for me, and it's not like that for any of the other psychics I know.
Now, I know this past year on Just Believe, you've been focusing mostly on on-air live psychic readings. What are some of your favorite guests or and most memorable shows that you've done so far?
I love Leo. We just had Leo on last week again, and he's a repeater. He was on once before, and I'm definitely going to beg him to come on again. Terry Marie is actually going to be on December 7th, and she's the angel reader. She's really, really good. And I've had her on a couple of times. Trying to think some of the ones that I really, really, really loved talking to. Because most of the time I've been focusing of course, Nicole Guillaume, you know her.
Yeah, she's wonderful,
I love her. Crystal Kirch, I believe is her last name.
Kirchin,
yeah. Yeah, she's awesome. Love her. They haven't been on in a while. I'm going to have to get those guys back on because they're really very good. Nicole is a tarot reader, and she's been on the show probably three times. And Crystal Kirchin is I don't think she uses cards. She's pretty straight out there, and she is awesome. So I've had a lot of really, really great people on, but the ones that I can have a really good fun, like just a really good time with, have fun with, you know, they're my favorites. The ones that are down to earth, the ones that are more like me, the ones that are lighthearted about it, the ones that are fun to talk to, that give a crap, that actually care, you know, that's so important too. And, so I think those are really my favorite, always my favorite shows. And the people that just are out there to help people, because that's what I'm doing this for. That's what I do the show for. That's why I switched to all psychic readings, and I'm not interviewing authors and all the other spirituality things I could go and could interview people on. Because the thing that people are getting the most out of are the psychic reading shows. They're able to call in. They're able to get answers to their questions. And you know what? Not everybody can afford, you know, and to have an hour reading. Not everyone can afford to do that. You know, it can be just too much, you know, too much money. Sometimes when you're down and out, that's when you really need the reading. So I like that we're doing this, that we're focusing on the psychics and that we're getting some really talented psychics on. Michelle Avanti, who's an astrologer, she's supposed to be on Sunday. I'm still trying to confirm, but I believe she was on before. And then I'm going to be on myself on the 30th of the month. I'm doing the readings, and then we have Terry Marie on the week after that. So that'll be fun.
Fantastic! No, I love Terry Marie. You've had some wonderful guests. Everybody you just mentioned was awesome. Jennifer Hicks was great. I think Susan Blair Hunt. So you really you have this network of very talented psychics, and I like that they all have kind of like their own little specialty. And they've just all been really great. So I'm just so excited that Just Believe has been one of our very most popular shows on the network. And I totally agree with you. I just like, you know, being the call screener, I love that, you know, as a network and certainly you and your psychic guests, that, you know, we have the ability and the willingness to help other people when they really need it the most. Because I know a lot of the callers, when I screen them, I just feel so bad when, you know, they kind of tell me what's going on, and I kind of prep them to go on the air. So it just makes me really proud that we're able to do that.
Yeah, it really is fantastic, and I really do think we're helping a lot of people. And, you know, this week with Leo, we had so much fun, and Leo's just such, like I said, so down to earth, and such just a great person, and so much fun to talk to. And I like that kind of guest. Those are the ones that, you know, we can joke around, we can have fun, but we can really make a difference in people's lives too. You know, and that's why we all should be doing this. You know, hopefully that's why we're all doing this. We obviously have a bad egg every once in a while, but you know, we're getting better at avoiding those bad eggs.
Yeah, we are, absolutely. Well, Lisa, is there anything else you want the listeners to know before we maybe take a quick break here?
Yeah, we'll take a break, and I wanna talk a lot about you. You've actually you've got some new stuff going on, and I want to talk about it. I do want to talk about it because I think that besides your book and stuff, your ghostwriting services, I think that the new concept you have with everybody can, you know, everybody has a book inside of them that they want to write, you know, and they just don't know how, or they don't know the steps to take, and that you can be some who is a reasonably priced person that they can hire to do this. I think this is fascinating. Everybody, definitely stay tuned for the second half, where I'm going to talk to Daria, because I want everybody to listen to what Daria can do for everyone. And if you want to find out more about me, you can find me on lisatarvis.com. Everything you need to know and more, I'm sure, is at lisatarvis.com. So you go there, and then when we get back from the break, we're going to talk to Daria DiGiovanni.
All right, sounds good. All right, stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Right Stream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Diane.
And this is Denise.
And we want to invite you to listen to the History Goes Bump podcast.
Ghost tours for the theater of the mind.
The History Goes Bump podcast, a show featuring a look at historic locations, people, and events with a twist. This history podcast is haunted. So grab your slippers, hot chocolate, flashlight, and maybe even that baseball bat, and join us.
You can find the show at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and other various podcast catchers.
Check out the website at historygoesbump.com.
Keep it spooky.
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for Right Stream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Right Stream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Right Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Right Stream Radio, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Everyone, we're back. You're listening to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss with Lisa and Daria Ann. And we just spent half an hour talking about me, which was a great half an hour, by the way. I can't imagine a better way to spend half an hour, except, of course, talking about you. So that's what we're going to do now. So, first of all, everyone, for those of you that don't know anything or much about Daria, and again, if you're listening to our show, you probably already do, because she's all over the place and doing lots of really, really cool stuff right now. But she's the author of a book called Water Signs, A Story of Love and Renewal. And she's also a ghost writer, and she's done two books now that you've done on your own.
Yeah, Ghostwritten 2, wrote my own, and I've edited several books.
So. Right, editing, I forgot about the editing. And she is freakishly good with social media, which is really, really cool. And it just reminded me, I got to talk to you off air about something about my book. So we'll talk about that off air. But I keep forgetting to contact you about it because I know you'll know what to do because I don't know how to do it. But anyway, so what made you go from author to like a ghostwriter and editor? What made you not just keep writing under your own name and writing your own, you know, and becoming, I don't know, super famous?
Well, I don't know about the super famous part, but you know, it's so funny, Lisa, because I never, like, after I published my book in 2008, I didn't really sit down and say, okay, I want to be a ghostwriter. And, you know, I didn't really map that out and set that as a goal and pray about it and think about it. It just kind of happened. As I was doing a lot of local events for the book, because I always tell all my clients, yes, the internet is wonderful and we have to use social media, but I also believe very strongly in getting out there in your own communities and your own areas and meeting people in person. So a friend of mine, a contact of mine who became a friend, she had a book club at the time, and she said, you know, oh my God, I loved your book. I would really love to set up, you know, a book club where you can come and talk and to my group. And this was a very large group of people. It was down in the Miami area. And so Shlomo Atiyah, whose book Steps to Salvation we published this past summer, happened to be in the audience. And he didn't talk to me about ghostwriting right then. It was about a year later that he called me and he said, you know, do you remember me? He said, you know, I was at your book signing and I love the way you write and I've been searching and searching for the right person to write my book and I think it's you. And so that's kind of how it got started. I don't want to say that I fell into it, but I kind of did. But once I got into it, I had a lot of fun with it. So I kept on that track.
Yeah. How do you think like writing, because to me, like writing is the easy part, like when it's your story. I can't imagine writing somebody else's story is easy at all. I mean, if it's something that either you've lived through or you've imagined, you know, I think that that's the easy part. The editing is really, to me, like I want to pull my hair out, like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And I'm such a control freak that I have to like do it over and over and over and over and over again so that everything, you know, everything's perfect. God forbid there's anything wrong. So what's the difference for you between ghostwriting and editing?
Well, ghostwriting is a lot more time consuming, involves a lot more collaboration with the client than editing does. The trick with ghostwriting is you have to really, one, you have to respect what the person's doing and respect them. They don't have to become your best friend. But for me, at least, I have to have at least 80% buy-in into what they're doing and what they're presenting. That doesn't mean I have to agree with them on every little thing, but I got to be at least 80% on board with what they're trying to say. Once we get past that hurdle, it becomes a matter of getting to know that person because you have to write in their voice. So,
right.
You know, and it's happened a lot, like with Shlomo's book, you know, as we were kind of in the early stages going through those early manuscripts, and we had, like, our little beta readers, and some of them would come back and be like, Shlomo, this sounds like Daria. It doesn't sound like you. And I would read it over, and I'd be like, oh, my gosh, they're right. So it's a lot more involved in terms of getting to know the person that you're writing for. There's a lot of back and forth. Like, with Shlomo and I, his story is very unusual. It's unlike anything I ever wrote before. But there was a lot of kind of, you know, creative input back and forth. Well, why don't we do this? Maybe we'll add this character, this person from history. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of collaboration, and that's true when you're ghostwriting a book. And that's the challenge for me because we all have our own writing style. And the thing about writing is if you don't pour your heart and soul into it, it's going to show, you know, that's going to be noticeable. It's not going to be a good book. So the key is to be able to pour your heart and soul into it, but write it in the other person's voice. And the only way you can do that is really by getting to know that other person, that client. Now, the other book I've ghostwritten, Reflections on the Ring, I was actually hired by a friend of mine, and it was a very autobiographical story, and I had lived through some of the events with her, and it was a lot more relatable to me. So that process went a lot quicker, simply because of the subject matter. But I would say that that's the biggest difference. When you're editing, yeah, you got to be careful that you stay with that person's voice, but you're reading something they've already written, so it's much easier to do that.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that would probably be a little easier. But like I said, I mean, getting into telling somebody else's story, I just think that would be really, really hard to do when you're starting with a clean slate. But then again, you're right. The relationship you have has to be huge. I mean, that has to be such a huge part of it. You really have to believe in the project. You have to believe in the person's story and to get behind it and really become passionate about it enough to write about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You also do consulting on the independent publishing process and social media. Tell us about that. I talked a little bit about your expertise in social media, but talk about the independent publishing, because that's really popular right now, and as is social media. So what are you doing with that?
Sure. Well, you know, back in 2008, I had to learn by doing, by trial and error for myself, because, you know, even though I had a full-time job at the time, you know, I was still on a budget, so I had to figure out a lot of things for myself. And I got to be honest, it was overwhelming at the time. I mean, there's all these different services out there, and gosh, now I think there's even double the amount that there were back in 2008. But I talked to a lot of people. I used to train at a fitness studio, and one of the trainers there, who was a really nice guy, and he had published a book through Lulu.com and highly recommended it. So I went with Lulu for my book. But, you know, I learned about Kindle, which was just getting started back then. So, I mean, it was overwhelming. And I was just so determined that I wanted to publish my book that I hung in there. But later on, as I got into ghostwriting and editing, I thought, wow, you know, why don't I just come up with a system where, you know, I can offer the service to somebody. I'll get the ISBN numbers for them. You know, I'll do the formatting. I mean, I paid somebody to format my book, and then I thought, you know what, this is ridiculous. Formatting's not my favorite thing in the world, but I can certainly learn how to do it. So I taught myself how to do it, and now it's a service that I can provide for others as well. But, you know, I've learned now through the process of ghostwriting books and publishing them, and certainly my own book, how to make that process run smoothly. And honestly, most of my clients are working full time. They don't have the time to do this, and they like having somebody they can trust who's going to guide them through the whole process from start to finish. So that's kind of how, you know, that became part of my service offerings. And then, of course, back in 2008, that's when I myself got into the social media. And again, through trial and error, learned what works, what doesn't work, and how to build a following.
Yeah, right. And you actually taught me a lot of what I know about Twitter. Like, I had a Twitter account before I met you, but not for long before I met you. And I didn't know anything about how to use it, how to take advantage of it. And oh my God, I have more fun on Twitter, and I spend more time on Twitter now than I ever do on Facebook. You know, if you can get addicted to Facebook, trust me, Twitter is just as addicting, just in a different way. And there's not so much drama. You know, there's so much drama on Facebook, and there's not on Twitter. So I really think that your expertise with social media has always been one of my favorite things about using you. One of my favorite things to use you for.
Happy to help out.
Yeah, so I think that another important part of, you know, having someone get their book out there, to having their book published, is managing their expectations. I think a lot of people expect a lot of different things are going to happen that don't necessarily happen when you write a book, and then I don't think they expect some of the things that do happen to happen. So, why is it so important to manage a client's expectations once the book is out there, and how do you do it?
Yeah, this is the biggest challenge for me, because most of my clients are unknown authors, and let's face it, we all fall in love with our books, and we should. I mean, it's an accomplishment to write a book. I mean, I remember when I first held Water Signs in my hands, when I ordered the galley copy to review it in print. I was just like, oh my God, you know, I've wanted to do this my whole life ever since I was, you know, 2 years old. This is awesome. Everybody's going to love my book. Well, yes and no. I mean, you've got, you know, when you're an unknown author, here's the thing. Social media, new media, the ability to print on demand, the fact that there are Lulu.coms out there and CreateSpace and Amazon is fantastic. But you also have to keep in mind that they're also open to everybody else. I mean, it's great. We don't have to deal with the gatekeepers of the traditional publishing houses anymore. You can go directly to your audience. But by the same token, that requires time, commitment, patience. If possible, it requires you to have some sort of marketing budget that maybe you plan in advance of your book coming out. I mean, that's not always possible with everybody, but I certainly recommend it if it is. But the thing is, you know, you can't expect people oh my God, like, you just, you know, you're not going to sell 100 copies. Like, if somebody, you know, when I interview somebody on my show, they could have a great interview. Their book could be fantastic. And I interview hundreds of talented authors. I mean, they're fantastic. But that doesn't mean it's a tit-for-tat thing where, you know, you do a radio interview and all of a sudden, you know, you're going to sell 100 copies on Amazon. It just doesn't work that way. And I really wish that it did. And this is one of the things that's most difficult for me in my business because, you know, people feel like, well, you know, I paid you to write my book. And some cases they pay me to manage their social media or to at least train them on how to use it after I set up the social media platforms for them. And they feel like it should be instant gratification, but it just doesn't work that way. And again, that does not mean that your book isn't worth reading. It doesn't mean you're a lousy author or that you don't have something worthwhile to present to the world. It just means that you got to get out there, and it's a daily, consistent thing. And at least one other quick thing I want to say before you ask me the next question, I just want to stress the importance of engagement. It can't be all about, you know, when you're on social media, it can't be all about, well, buy my book. Hey, here's where you can find my book. Hey, you've got to get out there. You wouldn't go to a business networking function in person. Well, some people do this, but I don't recommend it. And, like, you know, throw your business cards in people's faces and just say, hey, look, here's what I do, you know, and just go through this laundry list of your services. It's the same on social media. It's all about developing relationships, and that takes time.
Yeah, and I know one of the things that when you taught me, you know, how to use Twitter appropriately and all that, one of the things I found was that you know, bottom line is I went from just a, you know, few hundred followers to, you know, well, I don't know where I'm at now, but over 20,000 followers now that, and I got those followers because of other people's articles that I found that were interesting that I happened to tweet about. You know, and it was all these different, you know, I was tweeting about all these different subjects. I got nothing out of this. Somebody else was getting the kudos for it. It wasn't me. But that's how I got followers, because they liked the type of stuff I was putting out there, which was going to be on health and spirituality and relationships and stuff like that. And they liked it, you know, and that's how you get followers. You're right. I very rarely, once in a while, I'm like, crap, I haven't talked about my book in 2 weeks. I should send everybody my link, you know. And you forget, you know.
It's okay to broadcast once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while. You probably should, actually.
Yeah.
You know, but something else I want to talk about is you just started this new campaign, I call it. I think it's a campaign. It's called Is There a Book Inside You Screaming to Get Out? Tell everybody about that and why you did that. You can find that, by the way, at DariaDiGiovanni.com. And there's a link right there that says, is there a book inside of you screaming to get out? And there's a picture of Daria and her friend screaming, I think.
Yeah, we were on the scary, goofy roller coaster in Disney World. Yeah, a little kiddie coaster. We were just goofing around. That was a fun weekend a couple of weeks ago. Thanks, Diane Student. Actually, she's from History Goes Bump. I'll just give them a quick plug. But I just thought that was a cute picture to use with the two of us just goofing around. At least I can't tell you how many people I bump into, or even online and in person, that'll be like, oh my God, you're a ghostwriter. Oh my gosh, I've got this story I have to tell. I mean, I believe that every person on the planet, especially as you get older, everyone's got a story to tell. And so everyone has, I believe, a book inside of them. They just may not be a good writer. They may not know how to write, or they might be a good writer. They just don't know where to start. They may know about the opportunities that new media affords them now, you know, the ability to self-publish. They don't know where to begin. Maybe they don't have the time. I mean, there could be any number of reasons why someone just isn't doing anything with their book. Maybe they've got tons of journals sitting around in their house, and they know they want to, you know, write a book about, you know, base a book on them, but they just don't know where to begin, and that's where I can help people. I can, you know, just chat with them and figure out, first of all, you know, it's so important to know who your audience is, you know, and I mean, that I think is the critical thing, because that really helps you get focused. And then, you know, we figure out from there whether they need me to be a ghostwriter. I can be an editor. You know, if they've already written something and maybe they just don't know where to go with it in terms of the social media, I can provide the formatting services, help them get an ISBN number. Like, all these things we don't think of. Like, for example, and this was certainly not true in 2008, but it is now, you need a separate ISBN number for your paperback version and a separate ISBN now for the Kindle version, which I think is ridiculous. Because it's the same title.
In 2012, I had to have, one was an ISBN and one was an ISBN colon something, or I don't know. Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah, and that's like out of my control, but that's a lot. But I highly recommend. I mean, I think right now Kindle's at 50%. You know, 50% of your market is reading Kindle. Now, whether you like Kindle or not, you need to make your book available in Kindle if it's appropriate, because otherwise you're going to miss out on that market share. And yes, you're going to make a lot less money because Kindle's cheaper, but by the same token, this is all about increasing your online presence and just making people aware of your book. And so through the social media marketing on a consistent basis, you try to make that up in volume. And the reason I just say that sometimes there are exceptions to the rule is that, you know, I just helped Maureen Miles Bucci publish her book, A Snobby Girl's Guide to Dealing with Cancer. And because the pages in the back of the book are meant to be journaling pages for women dealing with cancer, and the fact that chemo affects eyesight and vision, we just said, you know what, Maureen, you know, your book really, for your limited audience or your niche audience, paperback is the way to go, because you want them to actually carry the book around with them and write inside of it. So that's a totally different story. But most cases, it's going to be appropriate for your book to be published in Kindle and paperback. So, you know, so those are things that I make people aware of. And again, I can take care of it, getting the ISBN number. I can help you come up with an outline if you're just really stuck. If you need to start from scratch, and that's the reason why I offer a free 30-minute consultation, because I need to know myself too. Just like you were saying earlier, Lisa, like with your clients, like not everybody clicks with every psychic. Well, the same is true with my line of work too.
Sure.
And this is something very personal. We have to click, otherwise it's not going to work. So that's why I do a free 30-minute consultation, so that we can determine if there's even a reason to move forward.
Well, and let me just say, from somebody who wrote their own book, and I've used independent publishing to do it, however, I went through Balboa Press, which is a division of Hay House, and it cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And I'm talking, I don't even remember what it ended up being. And all I got was hard sold on how can you just pay us $4,000 to do the book? Again, yeah. And they,
oh my
I
God.
Wrote the book. This was without them writing the book. Okay, I wrote the entire book. I submitted it to them. I had to give them ideas for the cover. They designed the cover. They got the ISBN number. They did all this stuff. But for $4,000, okay, you know, they did that part of it. And I would never, ever, ever, ever do it again, because I know there are people out like there, you know, like you out there now, and I know that there are you know, companies that are much, much more inexpensive. But now all I do is get, well, I don't take the phone calls anymore, but I, you know, they were constantly bombarding me with questions or with phone calls. Okay, so, well, you got the book out there. Well, now we need you to spend like another $5,000-$6,000 so we can help you market it. And I'm like, are you
That's
kidding
insane.
Me? You guys are insane.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, so I mean, I know, and I completely know the other side of, you know, independent publishing. You've got to be really careful. Go with somebody you have a relationship with. Don't go with a company. Go with a person. You know, I think that's such a big difference. You know, for me, I thought, okay, I have this one person I'm talking to at Balboa. They're going to hold my hand through the whole thing. No, I'm done with you. I sold you the package, so now I'm going to pass you on to so-and-so. And then you get passed on to so-and-so. And they're like, okay, well, we're done with the editing process, so now I'm going to pass you on to so-and-so. I'm like, are you kidding me? Who do I call about to yell? You know? I didn't even know. You know, so I think that's really cool, and I think you offer so many different things. And why don't you tell everybody exactly? I mean, we did talk about obviously the ghostwriting, but what else can you do for people?
Yeah, so aside from, you know, the ghostwriting and editing, and, you know, people who want to write books, I can also set up WordPress blogs. I love WordPress. I mean, that's one of my very favorite platforms. And, you know, I can really help people. Let me just give you an example. I mean, I was at a book signing for Shlomo back in September, and I met a guy there who said to me, I think I want to ghostwrite a book. And the more I started talking to him about it, the more I realized, you know, he's not really ready to write a book yet. I think what we need to do is start him off of the blog. So we're in the process right now of me, I set up his WordPress blog, and we're getting some content on there, and I'm going to train him how to blog for himself. One of the other things I offer, too, is because you mentioned graphic design, and I want to make sure that I mention this. I work with a very talented woman out of Connecticut named Kia Heavey, who is just phenomenal. I mean, I have worked with her now on several projects. She also, you know, she's very she offers people very, very reasonable rates. I mean, very reasonable, and she's excellent. And I like that she and I work so well together and that, you know, I can share a concept with her based on what my client wants, and we'll go back and forth until we get it right. So she's wonderful. So that's another thing that I can bring to the table, too, is really the importance of a book cover. I cannot stress enough. But even if you're not an author, you know, and you want to, you need to use social media for your business, I can set up Facebook pages, Twitter, the whole gamut, Pinterest, Google Plus, you know, the whole gamut of social media sites, and train you how to use them. Or I can, you can hire me, and we can do a monthly. I ask for a 3-month minimum because, again, it takes a while to build those relationships. I can manage those accounts for you, so I can do social media management, the setup, and the training. You know, setting up WordPress blogs. So I, you know, there's a whole variety of things that I can offer to people. You don't necessarily have to be an author or somebody who wants to write a book. I mean, you can have a small business that needs more exposure. I can provide content for your blog. You know, if you're a small business and you don't have a blog and you're not out there, because they say content is king, you know, you really need to be out there sharing content. Just like you were saying, Lisa, you know, you share articles from, the, you know, great articles from different sources and people like that. Well, the same is true with a business. So I can, and I can do that on behalf of people. I mean, most people are busy running their business, but they know that social media is important. So those are the kinds of things that I can also, you know, those are the kinds of services that I can also provide. And I find it really fun. And let me just get a plug in for Hootsuite, too, because if not for that scheduling feature on Hootsuite, I would be, I would be pulling my hair out.
I'm like, I was just looking today, I'm like, crap, I've only got stuff on until like the middle of January. I got to get moving on this, get more stuff on there. Because, you know, to me, it's like when I have time to do it, I sit down and I plug. I just put thing after thing, article after article on, link after link on, whatever. And I love Hootsuite. Hootsuite is awesome. It is really very, very, very good. So, everybody, you can find more out about Daria's Is There a Book Inside You Screaming to Get Out at DariaDiGiovanni.com. Now, I always say that, and I never spell it, and I think that probably is doing a little bit of a disservice because I think it's very easy to spell, but that's probably because I've known you for a while, and I've written it and typed it 1,000 times, but Daria is D-A-R-I-A. D-A-R-I-A, Daria, and her last name is DiGiovanni, which is D-I-G-I-O-V-A-N-N-I. So it's DiGiovanni, kind of, just how it would, D-I-G-I, I don't know. But anyway, it's DiGiovanni, and it's the last name is, again, D-I-G-I-O-V-A-N-N-I.com. If you put her name into Google or whatever, she's first thing up. You see lots of pretty pictures of her, and then her link is right there. Let's talk a little bit about WriteStream now. Why did you start WriteStream in the beginning?
Well, you know, for a lot of reasons. One, you know, I myself have an interest in so many different things, you know, like the metaphysical, that I thought, wow, I think it'd be really cool to put together a network and find experts in these different areas. And I just thought, you know, wouldn't it be great come up with a network that caters to a diverse clientele, you know, diverse listenership, if you will. And, you know, I always love to, I love learning from other people who know more than I, who have that expertise in a particular field. So that was one reason. The second reason was also I wanted to build a network to provide sort of a built-in source of publicity for my clients. And also for my host that decided to join, you know, to take on this venture with me, like you and John Gresham, to give them a platform that they can use to market their own services in addition to promoting other good people. So that's really kind of how it all came about. And so, you know, so to that end, you know, I had known you, and like I said at the beginning of the show, I thought, wow, it would be great if Lisa would host the show. And, my God, you were just like, yeah, this is great. So you jumped on board. John, being a military historian, I have a big interest in that. I know a lot of other people do as well. He's a journalist. I mean, he's very well respected. He's written 16 or 17 books, maybe more than that at this point. So, John, if you're listening, you can correct me later. But he's written at least 16 books that I'm aware of. Thought, wow, that would be great. You know, John has a big following. Give him an opportunity. And, you know, I got to say, John's been on the Discovery Channel. I mean, he's been on the History Channel. He gets hired to consult on major documentaries. So when I asked him, and he just said, absolutely. There was no hesitation. So, you know, John, I really respect you for that, and thank you for just, like, jumping on board. And so, you know, really that's where it came from. I think a desire for me to learn more from other people in these areas that I had an interest in, to create a diverse network that would attract a lot of different people to listen, and then also, again, to create sort of a built-in platform, sort of a PR source for my clients and your clients and people that John writes for. And certainly all the other hosts. Now we have Evan, who's doing a phenomenal job. Evan, you really are. I mean, God, he just started last month, and he took the ball and ran with it.
I
love the Speculative Fiction Cantina. So that's why I really, you know, that's why I started it. And I'm having fun with it, too. I mean, it's just a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. I think radio is fun. I mean, it's definitely something that I enjoy. I kind of think there's something for me. It's just, well, maybe because I like to talk. I don't know, but I just think it's a blast, and I love meeting the new people with the guests and the callers and all of that. You know, every week there's new people on, and that's just really, to me, really exciting, and it's just very fulfilling. You know, the last thing I want to talk to you. The last thing I want to mention to you is, you know, you've interviewed on RightStream Tuesday a lot of authors in the last year, and in the last 2 years, really, but in the last year, since we're going to be wrapping up the year next month, based on who you've interviewed, based on what you've read, what you've heard of, what would be some of the books you would recommend that people buy for Christmas or Hanukkah? And then the holiday season, or read over the holidays?
Sure. Well, if you're looking, let's start with like some different categories. For young adult fiction, I highly recommend Underlake by Kia Heavey. And yes, Kia is the same girl, the same woman who is a graphic artist, but she's also a very talented author of two books. And this year she released Underlake, which I got to be honest, it was geared for the YA audience. I love the book so much, I read it twice. It's a great book. Kids will love it. Lisa, you would love it because there's definitely a supernatural element to it. And she's just such a good writer. I mean, she really just draws you in. The other YA book that I loved is called Counteract by an author named Tracy Lawson. And she's with Budapest Publishing. It's a dystopia, but it's just, again, the way she writes it, it's very fast-paced. I was so caught up in it, I couldn't stop reading it. And her two main characters are teenagers, and she's just written them so well. I mean, you kind of fall in love with these two kids and what they're up against. And so and that's going to be part of a trilogy, I believe. So Counteract is the first book in her trilogy, and that's by author Tracy Lawson. My goodness, what other books have I read? Well, I also loved, this is another dystopia, and I know that dystopias can be kind of dark, but Daniela Bova's Tears of Paradox, like another thing, couldn't stop turning the pages, and it actually takes place in Chester County, Pennsylvania, so I think partly because of the familiar settings, I was really drawn to her book. And it's kind of fun. You know, people gave me that feedback, too, because my book takes place in Pennsylvania, South Jersey, and of course, South Florida, and everybody remarks on that. Like, no matter, you know, if they live in any one of those places, they're like, it's so cool to see Valley Forge mentioned in the book, or, you know, or whatever it is. So Tears of Paradox by Daniela Bova was a great book. You know, I mentioned Maureen, and I know she's my client, but I have to say, you know, for a woman, anybody out there dealing with cancer, any of the female cancers, A Snobby Girl's Guide to Dealing with Cancer, Surviving Cancer with Humor, Grace, and Style, fantastic books to buy for any woman you know. And it doesn't have to be a female cancer. I mean, whatever kind of cancer the woman has, this book is just, it's just such a great guide. It's part thought, it's funny, it's edgy, it's raw, but it's meant to really help a woman who's dealing with that. So,
She is, by the way, she's going to be next week's guest on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. On Thanksgiving Day, we're going to be talking to Maureen about her book and about her experience, horrible experience with cancer. So she's going to be on next week, so everybody tune into that at 7 o'clock on Thanksgiving evening.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. It's going to be a wonderful show. And who else? Declan Finn, who wrote he wrote the Pious trilogy. Now, I haven't read all of them, but I've read A Pious Man, A Holy Thriller. Fantastic book if you like those sort of James Bond-style books. His has a twist because John is very interested in the Vatican and Vatican history. And it's still, you don't have to be Catholic to like his books. I mean, they're just a very fast paced, you know, like I said, his main character, Sean Ryan, is kind of a James Bond type of character. You will get really caught up. And I have to be honest, I mean, I got caught up because John's such a good writer. This is typically not my genre. Loved it. And I also read his book, Codename Winterborn, which is like a follow-up. Fantastic book. So, you know, again, if anybody wants to go into the archives of Rightstream, you know, blogtalkradio.com/Rightstream, you can listen to my interviews with a lot of these authors. I also love, I'm still in the middle of reading The Golden Pinnacle by Robert Gore. Fabulous book, where it's kind of like with Shlomo's book, it's what I call faction. I mean, it's fiction based on fact. So The Golden Pinnacle kind of starts around the Civil War time and takes us up to the year 1913 with a focus on sort of the Industrial Revolution and how things were really like humming along really well in the United States economically, even after the horrors of the Civil War and all the dissension that came along with that. Great book. It's a very thick book. I'm still in the middle of reading it. I hope to be able to post a review about it soon, but that was fantastic too. So, I mean, those are just some of the books that I really love. Also, By the Hands of Men by Roy M. Griffiths. Fabulous book. If you like historical, I don't want to call it a historical romance because I don't want to kind of cheapen it. It's a historical book. There's a romantic, you know, certain love story to it. But the way it's written, it's very reflective of that age and all of the mores that goes along with the 1900s because it takes place during World War One. So there is a love story to it. But it's also a commentary on how the hands of men can either create love and joy and peace in the world, or the hands of men can create destruction. So it's a very, very good book, very, very well written. So yes, lots of books. And in fact, Lisa, I'm planning on doing a December 2nd Rightstream Tuesday where I'll get into more detail about all the books that I'm recommending people buy this year for everyone on their list, because I certainly, you know, I've certainly spanned all the different genres, although I am really happy that we have Evan on board, because I got to say, like, science fiction, just not my thing. A lot of talented authors in science fiction, but just not my thing. So I'm really glad we have Evan sort of picking up the slack in that area, because there's a huge, huge following out there for science fiction and speculative fiction and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and you can, everybody listening, by the way, all the listeners, you can, Daria does all kinds of reviews on different books on her website, dariadgiovanni.com. So you can go on and see the reviews. I think you post them, do you post them under your blog?
I put them on my blog, and I also put them on Amazon, because let's face it, every author, that's really where they're going to get the most exposure, and the more Amazon reviews, the better. And then let me just right now quickly to put a plug in for Shlomo Steps to Salvation. I know, Lisa, you enjoyed it. You interviewed me about it. And yeah, he was my client. But let me tell you, it was all of the concepts were his. I mean, I did the research and obviously wrote it for him, but they were his ideas. And I just think they were phenomenal. I think the book is certainly the most unusual book I've ever read or written. So highly recommend that too.
Yeah, it was good. It was a very good book.
So check them all out on Amazon.com and DariaDiGiovanni.com if you want to find out more reviews. Obviously, I didn't review Steps to Salvation because that would be kind of self-serving, but other people have, and you can read what they have to say at Amazon.
Well, everybody, obviously, you know, there's a lot. We've talked about a lot of different things tonight, and Daria and I do very different things, but they overlap completely in so many areas. It's kind of weird how they kind of, you know, work together in some ways. And Rightstream is the baby that we had together.
Yes, it is.
We share custody.
Yes, we're both nurturing Rightstream.
Yes, we're both nurturers of Rightstream.
And at least I have to say you're doing a fantastic job as our director of marketing. And I know that, you know, you are the one primarily who's booking the guests for Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. And you're doing a great job. And thank you so much for jumping in and being a part of this.
Fantastic job tonight. Actually, she's called me on myself since we've been on air, but a little late. Anyway, apparently the assistant that she hired to, from what I can pick up from, because I have this text thing, I hate like listening to voicemails. They just annoy me. So I have this whole, you know, text it kind of thing. So it like transcribes it for me. And it's apparently the assistant she had is who contacted me, who I've been emailing, it doesn't work for her anymore. So that could be the problem. Anyway, so we'll rebook her for another day. No big deal. Stuff happens.
Yeah.
Like at the top of the show. And quite frankly, this has been a great way to spend the show too. We never really have a time to plug each other or, you know, ourselves on our shows. I mean, we're always plugging somebody else. So it's nice to be able to do this every so often. And obviously, if you need to talk to a metaphysician or a psychic, you want to call me, Lisa Tarvis. And if you want a book written or you need some advice on writing a book, you want to call Daria. So there you go. We've covered it all, I think. Next week, again, Maureen's going to be on with her book, A Snobby Girl's Guide to Dealing with Cancer. She's going to be on next Thursday so after you're done eating your turkey, tune in to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, and we'll be sending lots of promos out about that. And you can follow both of us on Twitter. I'm at Lisa Tarvis, and Daria is at Daria Ann. So that's two A's and two N's, D-A-R-I-A-A-N-N-E. And I always have to spell your stuff. I don't know why I think people can't spell your name. Anyway, so that
is... follow us at Lightstream also, at Rightstream, WriteStream, and hashtag Rightstream. Yeah.
Hashtag Rightstream, and you can also follow Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, this show, at Love Liberty Lips, and hashtag LLL. So you can do any of that and follow us on Twitter, and of course on Facebook, just look under any of the names, Rightstream, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, Just Believe, Rightstream Tuesday, Darianne DiGiovanni, Lisa Tarvis. Holy crap, we're all over the place. So
we're everywhere. We are.
We are stalkers. All right, so we're going to wrap it up for tonight, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. And again, don't forget to tune in next Thursday on Thanksgiving. And if you can't listen live, listen later when, you know, right before the coma sets in. And make sure you listen in the archives because it's going to be a really great, great show. So everybody listen in next week. Thursday about Maureen's book, which is really going to be, I think, a really popular book. You're just going to love the cover. Let's just go with that. The cover alone.
Yep.
I want to buy the book in hard copy just for the cover. And I
that
don't ever.
Tia.
I don't ever buy hard copies. I never buy hard copies. I'm like, oh my god, I just love that cover. Anyway, so next
great.
Up,
it really is.
Yeah, next up on the Rightstream lineup is the Speculative Fiction Cantina with S. Evan Townsend tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern. That's 3 o'clock, I believe, on the West Coast, which
Pacific
is where
S. Evan
Townsend is. And, yeah, so he's going to be on tomorrow, everybody. So that's going to be next up. And then you can catch me on Sunday doing some sort of readings on Just Believe at 7 o'clock. So follow us at Rightstream. You'll be able to keep up with what's going on with all the shows. That's the easiest thing to do. Or follow us on Facebook at Rightstream, and you'll find out lots about us. Anyway, everyone, thank you so much for listening. It's been a really fun show. Thank you, Daria. It was a lot of fun.
It
and
was.
We'll,
thank you, Lisa.
We'll be in touch very soon.
Good night,
all
everyone.
Right.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.